Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Eric, yesterday we were talking about an article that you have posted on our website, mrm.org, an article that deals with various books that Christians should have in their library. Now, there's nothing sinful if you don't have the books you list in your library. It's just merely a suggestion that would hopefully help you come up with some answers, perhaps, to friends or loved ones that might have questions about what you as a Christian actually believe. And so we've been talking about some of those. Yesterday we talked about having a good Bible, a good translation. We talked about different types of Bibles, and you talked about a good translation that's as close to the original. Are you talking about more of the wooden translation, which would be closer to an English Standard Version or a Revised Standard Version as opposed to a dynamic equivalent like the NIV? Or what? What would you suggest in that area?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm not talking necessarily it has to read literally with what the Greek and the Hebrew says, because it becomes, as you mentioned, very wooden. Dynamic equivalent means that it takes the language from 2,000 plus years ago and puts it into a way that makes sense and flows. And on a good Bible translation, they'll actually have linguists and English scholars who will be able to take what that says and be able to make that happen. There are many translations. I don't want to say that there's a favorite. Everybody has one. But I think you can go to the Bible bookstore and pick out some of your favorite verses and see how that works. And that can help you.
How about actually if you're in a church, and I would probably suggest that you have a Bible version that's similar to the one that the pastor's
sure.
using. And
mm-hmm.
you might want to even ask the pastor why he chose the version that he's using. But to read along with the pastor, I find is very helpful. When I'm in a church, and I like to carry the ESV myself, but if I'm visiting at a church and they're using a different translation, you really do have to pay attention. There is going to be some structural differences there. Not that the message is different, but the structure of the sentence is certainly going to be different.
And you can run into issues too, like for instance, the New International Version. Well, there are two different versions now of that. There's a more modern version they've done some correcting to, and then there's the 1984 version. And so they might use the NIV. You'll have to figure out which year are you using. You mentioned the ESV, the English Standard Version. There's the New Living Translation. There are good translations out there and will help you to be able to read your Bible that maybe you're missing some things if you were Latter-day Saint reading and just didn't catch the King James, because let's just admit it. The 1769 version, which is a redo of the 1611, that's over 200 years that language has done a lot of changing, and I can't read it very easily. I know you grew up on it, but I know you don't prefer to use the King James when you don't have to, because
I can read it. It doesn't bother me at all when I read it. I just have to know that there's some words that can be better understood, because you're right. That is an archaic form of English.
There's no perfect translation out there, though.
No, there isn't. We understand that. What are some of the other books, though, when we're talking about giving answers of the hope that lies within us? What are some good books out there that Christians should have?
And if people go to the website on the main page, the Apologetic Books article that we have put together, they can actually link to Amazon, and we'll take them right there with each of these books. And under Apologetics, as you led into, one that I like a lot for this culture is I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. This is by Norman Geisler and Frank Turek. And they have a whole bunch of resource material with this, because so many people who end up leaving the Mormon church end up heading over to agnosticism or atheism. I think you better have a pretty good grasp on that. They actually have a curriculum. They've got an official study guide to this. They've got workbooks. I've listed them all here. It's on Kindle. But having the ability to understand the arguments that are being used in the atheist world, and here are some pretty good responses.
I like that book. In fact, I have the audio version of that book, and I recall playing it as I was driving back to California to go visit family. I was listening to the book on my CD player.
Yeah.
And it is a good resource.
Lee Strobel has done a wonderful job with a number of different titles. And one of his most popular books that I like to give away in this culture as well is called The Case for Christ. He was an atheist journalist who denied Christianity and God, and then his wife became a Christian, and so he started to do this investigation as a journalist would, because that he used to work for the Chicago Tribune, I think it was, and came up with all kinds of good interviews with different scholars to deal with some of those issues as to why the Bible is true and who is this person named Jesus. But he didn't just do one for adults. He did one for kids and for teenagers. And so there's a student edition and the kids edition. And you can actually buy 6-packs of these books on Amazon, and you can use those to hand out. He's also written a book called The Case for Faith, which deals with some of the toughest objections that people have. They also have that in a student and kids version. So not only you adults should be studying this, but let's say you want to read a book like this, you can buy one for your children as well as for your teens to help them understand there really is a God who loves them. And just because perhaps Mormonism was wrong doesn't mean that Christianity is wrong too.
The Case for Christ was one of those books that I have used in my small group that I meet with every week. It was an excellent book, and it's not all that deep. Now, we're not trying to give you these deep scholarly books that if you don't know Greek or Hebrew, you won't understand what they're saying. We're trying to give you some more popular level books that are still good. Just because they're on a popular level doesn't mean that they're not good. They certainly are good books, and I think we should be familiar with what is out there.
My friend Jay Warner Wallace has written a book called Cold Case Christianity. He was a former homicide detective, and so what he did is he took that and investigated the claims of the Gospels. This is written in a narrative type of way, just like Lee Strobel's books are, because he takes a lot of the cases, the murder cases that he dealt with, Strobel did in the Chicago Tribune investigations, and incorporated them in, and so does Wallace in that book. Excellent reading. Book that both you and I have used and enjoy is called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Again, we go to atheism, and they oftentimes will bring up the children of Israel killing everybody around. How could that be a God of the New Testament? And I think
that's Dawkins' big thing. He's one of those who has this big, long paragraph describing God in the most pejorative of ways. And I wish Dawkins would seriously read Paul Copan's book, Is God a Moral Monster? Because that would probably explain a lot of the fallacious arguments that Dawkins likes to raise.
As Bill said, this is not a book made for a scholar, but at the same time, it's not an easy book to read. You're going to have to pay attention on some of these books that we're giving you, but I think for the average person who has at least a high school education, this is a book that you can work your way through and be able to understand. And then Greg Kochel wrote a book called Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. I think you actually did this book in a small group study.
I did that one, and I did the Paul Copan book. So, okay. So far, I'm hitting a lot of these that you're mentioning here. So.
And you have a book that you really like for apologetics. Which book is that?
The one I like, and for different reasons, is Timothy Keller's book, The Reason for God, Belief in an Age of Skepticism. One of the reasons why I like Keller's book is Keller writes more from a pastoral perspective, whereas an apologist, I think, is sometimes more mechanical. He approaches it a little bit differently, and I just love his explanations to some of the things. And surprising, it was refreshing, I should say, to find that he is using some of the responses that we would use when we're trying to talk pastorally with people. For instance, the issue of sexual immorality in our culture today, he addresses that. If I could read just a section out of page 113, he says, "You may appeal..." Keller's talking about the skeptic, "but I can't accept the Bible if what it says about gender is outmoded. I would respond to that with this question. Are you saying that because you don't like what the Bible says about sex, that Jesus couldn't have been raised from the dead?" And really, think about
Touché.
It. That's the kind of stupid arguments that we are hearing out there. Well, I don't like this part. So that means, obviously, Jesus can't be God because I don't like what it says about this particular topic. But Keller says, "I'm sure you wouldn't insist on such a non sequitur. If Jesus is the Son of God, then we have to take his teaching seriously. including his confidence in the authority of the whole Bible. Mm. And certainly Jesus did express his confidence in the Bible. He cited it on numerous occasions. And in fact, it would be a real good study for you, Christian, to go through the Gospels and just look at how much of the Bible Jesus believed and repeated. And a lot of the things that people will scoff at today, I would say, hey, Jesus talked about that. Are you saying Jesus didn't know what he was talking about? Because really, that's the implication. If you're going to say you don't believe something, and here Jesus condoned whatever the Bible said about that, you're actually talking against Jesus himself.
Let me move on to another section we'll end with here today, and that's the issue of God. Because, and I've done this for Christians as a total group, but also specifically for Latter-day Saints. And I know that for my friends, A.W. Tozer has helped them a lot to be able to reconstruct their view of who God is. And so the knowledge of the holy is a classic. It's short. It's dealing with different attributes of God. I've used that in a group study. As well as the Attributes of God, Volume 1 and 2. I have a friend who I went through this with him, and he swears by these books. He says that these books have helped him because his view of God, even a couple of years after being a Christian, was convoluted based on his years in the LDS Church. As far as the Trinity goes, our friend James White has written a book that I think is my favorite on the Trinity called The Forgotten Trinity. Excellent. Well done. He uses a little bit of Greek, but don't let that scare you. If that scares you, maybe Cal Beisner's book, God in Three Persons, might be a little better for you.
If you can find that one. I don't know if that one's
actually
in print anymore.
It's still available used.
Oh, is it? Okay.
You can still get that, but those are a couple of books that you need to really know, Christian, about this Trinity.
Yeah, one thing about James's book is there's a couple chapters in there where he goes a little deeper than most would you would expect on a popular level. But what I loved about it, and I actually told James this, is it's almost you could read it like a devotional, the way he puts this forth. And
yeah, he says he loves the Trinity.
He loves the Trinity.
But don't let the straw man arguments of people out in our culture who say, oh, I can't believe in such a three-headed monster God, as Joseph Smith basically said. Do they really understand? Ask them what their view of the Trinity is. Let them give you a definition. And then 9 times out of 10, you can say, well, that's your own reconstruction, but that's not what the Trinity is teaching. But you, Christian, need to have a good idea of the authentic before you can deal with the fraud.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry. Have you considered visiting the Holy Land? Well, in February 2015, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson are hosting a trip to Israel with the option to visit the Seven Churches of Revelation in Turkey. During our 11-day trip to Israel, former Utah pastor Joel Kramer will take us on a day to see important biblical sites where very few people go. We'll also have a chance to swim in the Dead Sea, get baptized in the Jordan River, and hike through Hezekiah's Tunnel. To find out more, visit MRM.org and click on the Israel icon on the top right-hand corner of the page. Again, that's MRM.org.